Welcome to the Goodness Podcast, the Middle East's first platform dedicated to tackling women's health in a real and honest way. I'm your host, Noor Tahini. Welcome to part two of my conversation with Diala Halabi on anxiety. If you've missed part one, you'll find a link to it in the episode notes below. All right, so let's bring it back to anxiety and talk about ways and tips and advice to reduce anxiety. Now, just before we get into that, I wanted to say, can we differentiate in the same way we do with depression, sort of situational anxiety, and which is people who are anxious because they are in a situation that would give them anxiety or certain feelings are triggered, versus people who maybe have a chemical, I don't want to say chemical imbalance, that's the word that I've heard being used, but that are biologically more prone to anxiety?
Look, I don't know, this may be a bit of an unpopular opinion, but I don't believe that anxiety is something that you are biologically wired for. I mean, look, yes, a certain level of stress or anxiety is good because that's what keeps you alive. That's what makes you, you know, hit the brake when the car in front of you stops suddenly and you're not even conscious of what happened, but suddenly your body reacted to it before your mind could understand what just happened. Yeah, if you're being followed or chased or someone's trying to get you, anxiety is important. That's going to keep you alive. So we need anxiety, all right? We are evolutionarily, you know, speaking, built-in anxiety that's there to keep us safe. Now, again, the issue arises when the triggers or the reasons why we get anxious on a daily basis don't really require the fight or flight response, but yet the physicality of it remains the same. So we're still feeling it in the same way, but it's just because our body doesn't really know any better. Now, so in certain situations, yes, anxiety is going to make me survive. In other situations, it's just that maybe I'm having cognitive thought distortions that are giving me the feeling of anxiety. And maybe these thought distortions are happening at a subconscious level. So I'm not aware of the kind of thoughts that are creating this kind of anxiety. But then you have, like, you know, there's different types of anxiety. There is social anxiety, people who get anxious from, you know, having to talk to people or be out in public. There's generalized anxiety disorder. And that's when you are getting hit with a panic attack or feeling that anxiety over a certain number, like over a threshold. If you're experiencing it a lot, then it becomes more of a generalized anxiety disorder, which, you know, would require some kind of cognitive behavioral therapy as an intervention to help you learn how to manage it and how to live with it. But the way I understand it and what I've been taught, and from a psych perspective, anxiety can be manageable because anxiety is a mental process only. It is a mental process. It's not something that you're born with. It's not something that, okay, maybe if you're genetically been passed down a lot of trauma, then yeah, maybe you are more prone to feel anxious in your life. But even that can be, it's not a hormonal imbalance, if that makes, it's not a chemical imbalance in the brain. You know what I mean?
Not in the way that depression is.
No, not in the way that depression is. Depression has more to do with, you know, serotonin and dopamine and the development of certain kinds of hormones, right? And if, you know, if your brain isn't producing dopamine then or serotonin, which are the happy molecules, then yeah, you would tend to feel down more often than not.
Do you think that what makes some people more prone to anxiety is not that they're more predisposed to anxiety because of some kind of biological predisposition, but that what makes them more prone to anxiety is that they are biologically less able to cope with these feelings?
That's a really good question. Look, everyone has some kind of emotional tolerance, right? Some people have a higher threshold and some people have a lower threshold. But the good news is that if you have a lower threshold for emotional tolerance, it is something that you can work on to develop a better. And that is actually one of the ways that we try to intervene or teach people how to use, for example, mindfulness in helping with their anxiety attacks. I think the problem is that we are not taught how to handle these things from a young age. And maybe this is a topic for another time, but one of the triggers for anxiety even is that we are expected to accomplish more and more with less and less time and with less resources. Now, our youth, we are introduced to the possibility of failure earlier and earlier in our lives as a result of this increased systematic educational testing. There are so many young people, students as in like high school students or middle school students, that are exhibiting symptoms of anxiety because they're always feeling stressed and pressured to study and to pass tests and then pursue a certain career path or pursue a certain job, and the pressure to always achieve that we don't know who we are and what we want even at a very basic level. And so we're put under this enormous amount of pressure from a very young age, and we're not taught how to deal with this pressure. And that's the problem. So we grow up feeling this way. And to be honest, if you look at adulthood, we wear stress like a badge of honor. Hey, how are you? Oh, you know, I'm so stressed. Oh, really? That must mean work is good, right? Like you're very busy, you're stressed. It's a good thing now to be anxious and to be stressed. So we're getting kind of mixed signals. And is it bad not to be stressed or not to be anxious? It's like,
To your point about kids learning and being faced with failure through school so early on, I wanted to ask if you studied at Shui Fat.
but I know a lot of people who have. That school seems to be synonymous with like these kids having that much pressure. My God.
Yeah, I did. I studied in a French school, but I have a lot of friends who went to Shui Fat. So shout out to any Shui Fatties who are listening to this and resonating with it.
You are not alone.
A friend of mine sees a psychiatrist in Dubai, and the psychiatrist asked him, "What school did you go to?" And he said, "Shui Fat." And he's like, "Yep, all of you end up in my office." So definitely there's something there. All right, so let's talk about what we can do, the changes we can make to help either reduce anxiety or manage anxiety in our lives.
Okay, so we were talking about emotional tolerance, right? And that's something that can really help us because we're less likely to dread what we know we can tolerate. So when I was struggling with my anxiety attacks, I used to give myself anxiety just worrying about when the next attack was going to come. Mm-hmm. Like I was really afraid sometimes to go out because I'm like, oh, I don't want to be surrounded by people. What if I go out and I get an anxiety attack? But when I really delved into what it was that I was dreading, it was the fear of not being able to control the anxiety. If you've ever experienced a panic attack, then you know it's also the fear of not being able to survive it because you really feel like you're dying. It is the worst feeling in the world. And so when you build emotional tolerance for anxiety and for this fear, that means kind of allowing yourself to experience it. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but the distinction is that we're not trying to control it, because the more you try to control anxiety or the more you try to control this panic attack, the worse it's going to feel. So it's like an act of surrender in a way that when you feel an attack coming, you observe it and you say, okay, yalla, let's do this. And it does help. Yeah. So, you know how we were talking, like cognitive behavioral therapy is, you know, a lot of people use CBT to help with anxiety, and it really is helpful. But there is one process of facing your fears in CBT called exposure therapy, right? And it is an important step in learning how to manage it. I'm not saying go trigger your anxiety. I'm just trying to say, see it for what it really is. And know what you are and how like what you can accomplish. So there's three things that you need to remember, okay? The discomfort won't kill you, and neither will the anxiety. No one's died of an anxiety attack. The unpleasant emotions eventually go away, so will the anxiety. You need to remember that it's not going to be forever. And the only thing that feels overwhelming is the amplification of your anxious feelings by trying to control it. So your willingness to endure it for a bit is a way to boost your tolerance, not just in anxiety, but actually this is a way to move in the direction of self-mastery. And mindfulness is a great way to do this. So we can break it down if you want to like 5 steps, all right? The first step is turn towards your feelings with acceptance. So once you become aware of the emotion, all right, notice where is it in your body? Remember earlier we said we store our emotions in our bodies. So is it a stomach ache? So for some people, anxiety can feel like a tightening in your stomach. For some people, it's a tightening in your throat. It could be the pounding of your heart. It's tension somewhere. So sit
for
with
me,
that anxiety.
For me, it's weight on my chest.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. So if you become aware of it, don't try to ignore it or don't try to push it away and pretend it doesn't exist, because bottling it up is only going to make it bubble up and explode more. So let's just turn towards this feeling of acceptance. And step two, let's label it. So instead of saying I'm anxious, try saying, okay, this is anxiety. So this tightness on my chest or this pressure that I feel on my chest, it's not me being anxious. That pressure is anxiety. And this way you're acknowledging its presence, but you're simultaneously empowering yourself to remain detached from it. You know, mm-hmm. You try to be conscious of it. Like, I know that I'm experiencing anxiety and fear right now, and I'm just going to allow myself to be with it, which Kimin allows you to stay present. And you will soon realize that you are not your anxiety. So you're opening yourself up to your emotions in a way that's allowing you to create a space for awareness and even expansiveness. And step three is, and I will literally include step three in everything that I do in life and in all my therapies that I give people, have self-compassion. When you're going through an anxiety attack, think of a friend or think of a loved one who might be going through the same thing. What would you say to them? If you can bring the scenario of what you would say to them in your mind's eye and say the same things to yourself, you know, have your mantras ready. For me, I always say this too shall pass, because for me, it's like, okay, it's going to confirm to me that this is a temporary thing. And hold these images and phrases within yourself with this kind of loving kindness and compassion. So you will learn how to self-soothe, and you need to be able to self-soothe and to train yourself how to be calm in order to develop this emotional tolerance. And know that every one of your emotions is impermanent. They will come up and reside for you within a time, but then they'll disappear. And it's easy to forget this when you're in the middle of having, you know, when you're trying to deal with a difficult emotion, not just anxiety. Have you ever like gone through any kind of something that was painful and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to live like this forever now. I will no more know happiness. But when you allow yourself to kind of observe it, you allow it to morph into something else and completely evaporate. And this is like, oh, this is really interesting when it comes to like shadow healing or shadow work or healing your mm-hmm. inner child and that kind of psyche. And the most important step is to inquire and investigate. So now we have acknowledged the feeling, we've detached from it, we've labeled it. This is anxiety. We have opened ourselves up and we've self-soothed and we've self-calmed. Now we understand the impact of our emotions. So maybe we can ask ourselves, what triggered me? What is causing me to feel this way? What is the discomfort I'm experiencing? Where am I feeling it? So maybe you had a hard day at work, or maybe you're having difficulty dealing with the partner, or you're feeling unappreciated or lonely or disconnected. Whatever the cause or the trigger, look at it closely and ask yourself, what is happening here? Like, did you have expectations surrounding the situation? Were your reactions or judgments causing you to become anxious? Is this a pattern, something that comes up for you a lot? So when you're asking yourself these kind of critical questions and investigating the root of your difficult emotions, it can help you gain insight into what you are experiencing, in a sense, taking yourself off autopilot. And the most important thing is to become aware of when you're investigating, Can you identify what is the anxious thought distortion that you've had? So we already mentioned stuff like, you know, the all or nothing thinking or the overgeneralization, that there's a lot of different types of mental filtering. So we tend to, for example, jump to conclusions. We tend to disqualify positive things. We tend to magnify our flaws or our mistakes. We have a lot of should. Oh, this is the worst. How often do you catch yourself saying, I should do this, I should do that? Mm-hmm. That sense of always feeling pressured, like you're obligated. Or another type of mental cognitive distortion is like when we label things or when we personalize, we say everything is my fault, even when it's not your fault. Or when we blame everyone else except ourselves. So there's different types of distortions. So the thing that's helped me personally is don't believe everything you think. All right. Your mind, you're not the voice in your head. You are the consciousness that can observe the voice in your head and be conscious for and know for every anxiety provoking thought, there is an available alternative. So just take those thoughts to court, question them. Is this true? What evidence is there to support this? Is there a way that I can make a counter argument against this? Or is there another way I can look at it? Is this something a good friend would say to you about your perspective? So we try to look at our thoughts. And to bring this all together, I know I just, to help manage the anxiety, there is a mindfulness tool called RAIN, and that's an acronym. Okay, and that's just mm-hmm. the easiest way to remember and to summarize everything we just spoke about, to summarize it in like a simple acronym for people to remember. So RAIN stands for recognize, allow, investigate, and nurture. So recognize the emotion, recognize the anxiety, allow it to happen. Don't identify with it. This is anxiety. Label it. Disidentify from it. Investigate. Where is it coming from? Is it a thought? Is it a situation? Is it an emotion? And then nurture yourself. That's where the emotional tolerance will come in. Oh, and breathing exercises. Breathing exercises and meditation truly helps a lot with dealing with anxiety.
So thank you so much for sharing that. All of these tips and RAIN, do they work best for, I'm not sure what the right word is, but I would say like an acute anxiety episode where maybe you're having an anxiety attack or a panic attack, or it feels very intense all of a sudden? Or can they also be applied to that kind of like low key anxious hum that is sometimes in the background all the time?
Yeah. It works on both. Look, it might take a bit longer when you have the acute anxiety, because then it's just survival mode. It's how do I get myself to calm down? How do I lower my heart rate? How do I manage my breathing? That's where the breathing exercises come in, right? So you have the deep belly breathing, counting breathing, alternate nostril breathing, different breathing techniques to help you just in the moment. Let me calm myself. Let me build my, and really, it's the fear of I'm going to die right now, or it's the fear that I cannot handle this. This is it. This is what makes the panic attack worse. So that's why in the emotional tolerance side of things, we're trying to self-soothe. Can you just talk yourself, know that you're not going to die from this. You're going to be fine. It's going to pass. Just breathe. Let it pass. And when it starts to subdue a little bit, then you can introduce the investigation and understanding why were you triggered. And when you can understand what the threat cognition was and how you can come up with alternative hypotheses or create more positive theories that might be true versus your faulty thinking, which probably led to the anxiety, then that's another way of learning how to manage it. And over time, look, it's not going to happen from the first time. This takes time. And you learn to kind of befriend yourself and be there for yourself when you're having anxiety. And you will learn, you will understand more what your triggers are. And you can create more personalized interventions for yourself. And you will know, when I feel attacked at work, I feel anxious. When my friends, make plans without me, I feel anxious. So it's really... It's the idea is to become more self-observant in a way.
So the goal is not to eliminate anxiety from your life, because as you were saying, you need it. But the goal is to become, become better at managing and dealing with it. Okay.
Yeah. I still get anxiety all the time. Like, I just want people to know it is the most common mental, and when I say dis-ease, I don't mean disease. I mean DIS/EASE. It's something that is normal. The majority of people experience anxiety. Maybe they don't even recognize that they're experiencing anxiety. But the worst thing that people can think is that they're alone in this. It's not. Mm. You're not alone.
That's why we're Generation Anxiety.
And Nur, honestly, like, it's so awesome that you're bringing topics like this and you're spreading awareness. Hopefully someone can hear this and be like, oh, okay, you know, I didn't know. And that's your part in shifting the collective consciousness, which is beautiful. Bless you. Thank you for this. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all your tips and your time today. It was amazing having you on the podcast.
I'm so happy to have been here with you.
Have an awesome weekend.
You too. Thanks, Noor.
Thanks for listening today. If you're not familiar with Goodness, head to www.goodness.me to access the online platform and articles, and follow us at Goodness on Instagram. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review, and share it, and we'll see you next week.